We started a new study last time we met, and by gaining wisdom and understanding. And so I want to continue that after a quick word of prayer. We have been, I guess, experiencing some grief in our family. My mother passed away, then about a month later, my brother passed away. And then shortly after that, Gary Hill passed away. So it just seems like we've had our share of death. It's become very, very real. And, you know, we have more thoughts about it than we normally would, since, you know, I have to deal with different things with Mom. Hopefully I'm getting closer to the end of the things that I have to take care of. I was a POA, and now I'm doing the things that paying off some bills and getting the checking account freed up so I can pay off a few more. But that's life, you know. It's just one of the things that we deal with in this world. And so again, I'd rather think about more godly things, things that are more closer to my heart. When I think about elevating and lifting up our Lord, His name, what He's done for us, just everlasting and unending love that He provides for us at no cost to ourselves, but it costs Him everything by giving of His life. So let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started in this study on trying to know and to understand our Lord more deeply. So our Heavenly God and Father, we do come to Your presence. We do thank You again for all that You do for us, even when we sometimes don't even realize that we have a need. You seem to meet those needs before we even request, and yet You still have a desire that we try to remind ourselves that we should pray unceasingly for others, and for just a better knowledge of You, how You think, how You act, how You deal, how You love, Your patience, just all the many attributes that You done for us. And we certainly want to do, as Paul said, rejoice and rejoice again, and to continue to pray without ceasing, and continue to give You thanks for all that You do. We often feel like it's not near enough, but it's what You've requested that we do. So with that, we will continue to try to make a good habit of keeping in contact with You, and keeping our thoughts and mind set upon You. So we ask, Lord, that You would open up the ears and the eyes of understanding for all who have come our way. We'd ask that You would continue to guide, direct in their lives. We'd ask that You would continue to bless them according to Your will. We ask all these things in our Savior's name. We ask it for His sake. Amen. So I wanted to just start out in the book of John. And what we're thinking about is the fact that we ultimately, that God created with the express purpose of making Himself known to His creation. He chose to become a human being for 33 and a half years, and became all the things that needed to be to satisfy God's holiness. And so as we think about that, think about why He created, that we might ultimately know Him as God, it gives us we should attempt at least to get a greater understanding of life, death, resurrection, salvation, and the mysterion truth, the secrets that God has hidden in the scriptures. Many, many secrets. The one that we think of is the epitome, or the top one, was the body truth for his saints, for his called out ones, for his elected ones, for his chosen ones, for his predestined ones, predestinated ones. We were the first thing in his mind when he began to start unrolling his future plans for us as members of his body. I believe we were chosen and elected before the very foundation of the world. And so with that, we will start out in the book of John. And it seems like we shouldn't really have to say these things and repeat these things, but it makes things so clear when we think about what the Lord has done. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You have to realize there had to be a starting place someplace. And the starting place is with God. Nothing was in existence prior to his creating it, speaking it into happening. He says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So there's no more creators other than him. And he continues to create. But when we think about in the past, about where did it all start? Well, it started with God. And it started with the Word. Then he goes on in verse 4 and says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And so along with just having this spirit of life, we also have this light or this enlightenment that reveals to us God. I think we all have a God awareness, a God consciousness, as long as we have life. I do want to point out that this life is not like a battery. It's independent of him. We are all dependent upon him for the very life and very light that we have. He is a supplier. He's constantly flowing out. And when we pass, when we die, our spirit returns to God who gave it, and our body returns to the dust from which it came, which in our case, it's the earth, the chemicals of the earth. And then finally, in verse 5, it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And I think that the reason it couldn't is because it couldn't see it. It couldn't understand it. It couldn't know it. So I think that is the very foundation in which we need to know and understand in order to appreciate who God is and what he's doing for us as we are alive, and when we return and he resurrects us into the heaven far above all heavens when he appears, and then we'll have life again. That life will not end. The next verse I wanted to look at is in John 14:1. John chapter 14 in verse 1, and it says, this is referring to Christ, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So I think there's one thing as a God awareness. There's another thing as knowing God personally, and I think that's in Christ. The unknowable, invisible creator in that form of God the Father is not knowable as he is in the Son, Christ Jesus. So he is not only the Son of Man. So as God views what Christ did, he can see him as a human, as a man. And then we also have Christ as the Son of God, who means we can know the Father through the Son, Christ Jesus. And so there's two different ways that we can view things. We can view things from God's point of view, or we can view things from view. And as we see him as the perfect God. As God sees him, he sees him as the perfect man in that role that he took. Then I want to go to chapter 17, John 17, and we're going to read three verses. Verse 7 says, Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Then we also see in verse 8 where he says, Now I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Very, very, very important that we see these two persons. The third portion of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. Of course, that is the force that continues to hold things together and continues to open our understanding and our knowledge and our belief system, our faith in him. Then we want to look at verse 25, this same chapter. And it says, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have I known, that thou hast sent me. So this is the ultimate goal for the Lord is not only for us to know him, but to become more like him, to think like he does, to act like he does, to believe like he does, to have this peace, this knowledge, and then apply these things that we've learned in a way that I think we can help others, and we can also add or bring glory to God in this particular case. It is unusual to think of ourselves as being able to do that, and yet that's what I see in this knowledge, and that's why I think we need to have more knowledge. We need to have more understanding so that we can do these things. The next verse I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians, and it's in chapter 2. So 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and in verse 16, and it states, For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This was Paul stating this. But I think it's something that's available to us. Having this mind or this ability to be able to think and understand the things that were hidden to us before we became believers. And before he increased our faith. And then I want to go to Ephesians 3:10. Hopefully we all know these things, and hopefully these things are just going to be an encouragement. But if there's some that don't know or understand these things, we pray that you would be desirous to know more. So in Ephesians 3:10 it says, To the intent that now, and to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about this verse 12 where it says, In whom we have boldness, and we shouldn't be timid about seeing him in the heavenlies, but we should rather come with boldness. and accessed with confidence by the faith of Him. In other words, this faith that we have has came from Him. And so we, rather than looking at our own shortcomings and our own sins and all of our missing the mark, rather we look at what He did for us and realize we have that because we are in Him and He is in us. And He says in verse 13, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations," right? We call this testing for you, which is your glory. In other words, things have been allowed to take place at either to us or for us. It's so that we can, when we are tested, we can pass the test in Him. And it's a different way of thinking about, rather than thinking about all of our shortcomings, rather thinking about the power we have because of what He did for us. So it's, to me, that's a beautiful thing to think about, that we have a Heavenly Father and we have the Lord Christ Jesus accomplishing things for us. And if you think about it, it was before the foundation of the world, so it was being accomplished before we even came into existence. Communication is very, very important, and we want to keep the door of communication open to the Lord. And I think we do that by getting to know Him better and realizing how His heart's desire is that we ultimately would know Him, and we would know about those other things that we talked about earlier, which was life, death. I watch television occasionally, and I'll see they show on there where somebody will die, and they'll show that person didn't actually die, and they're able to commute with other dead ones that they knew. And yet I think there's no truth in whatsoever other than man's understanding and knowledge of the Father and not really realizing what happens at death. And for the believer, it's like going to sleep. They will sleep until it's their time to be called up. And for the non-believer, whenever they die, their spirit returns to God. Their body returns to the earth, and they're gone. That's the difference between life and death. I mean, you either are alive with a body and a spirit, or you're dead, and I think one definition I've come up with for death is it's someone who was alive, but is alive no longer. It's the only way I can show the contrast, and you're not living or floating around or watching what's going on down at the planet, on this planet, once you have passed from this life, because of the next word that we wanted to think about was resurrection. That's what we all need to get out of this body. I would say the majority of us are going to pass through that state of death, you know, that state of sleep, and then most of us will be called up to this heaven fireball, all heavens, given a new body and given a new spirit that thinks and acts and believes the very things that Christ would have us to know. And then the last truth, the mysterion, I probably won't touch on that tonight, but there's a lot of different ways that we can think about mysterion truth. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the one body, just things like that come to my mind. So we don't want to restrict ourselves to just one mystery, but rather, or mysterion, but rather many. So now let's turn to Acts 17. And this is referring to a little bit about resurrection, Acts 17, and verses 24 And it states, we only need to read 24. Acts 17, 24. It says, God that made the world and all things therein. And I think this would be so simple for the world to do, to just God, give God credit for being the creator and creating the world. All the laws that are, that they call laws of nature, all these laws are the laws that God provided for his creation, and gravity and rain and precipitation and sunshine, all those elements that they just take for granted. I'm thinking, why not just give God the creator credit for what he's done? And by the way, it says over there in Ephesians that, that Christ is given credit for holding all things together. He says, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped of man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So it's so clear how, you know, religion has a lot of ways that they think that we need to do to please God. But in reality, just give him glory and credit for the ability to not only to give life, but to keep us alive until our time is up. And everything we need, not necessarily everything we want, but everything we need is provided by him and for him. And 27 says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He's made it simple. He's made it where we can all do it, and yet there is that resistance, it seems, that people have to not want to do that. They would rather have a false religion or some idols to worship. Let's go to Job, the Old Testament. Job really was the first book written, we think, rather than, and it's Job chapter 12, verse 10, or chapter 12, yeah, verse 10, that it was the first book that was actually written. And he says in verse 10 here, I want to go back to verse 9. It says, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord has wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? There's more than just a life giving breath. There's also this inspiration, this ability to be able to believe or deny what we see. It's a choice that we have been given. And if we choose him, choose the Lord, and say that what he accomplished with his life while on this earth, and he did it all for us, and that we acknowledge it and believe it, and he begins to give us an understanding, a knowledge that we didn't have before, and he begins to open up our hearts and minds so that we can glorify him. But you know, if you think about it, that he deserves it. He deserves every bit of praise we give him, every bit of acknowledgement and thankfulness that we offer him. And by the way, he is desirous to have that closer relationship and to acknowledge that. Now let's go to Romans 1. This will be the last few verses that I read. Romans, or let's say, yeah, Romans 1. And we're going to start with verse 16. And the two verses that I want to emphasize are 19 and 20. But this is the Apostle Paul again, is the writer of Corinthians. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." One of the things that we were emphasizing was salvation. And we need to always look at the context to see which salvation he's talking about. There's many types of salvation in the scriptures. He says, "So it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That was something that was true then. That's not necessarily the case now, because there is no Jew now. They have no way, no one that claims to be a Jew has any way of proving that they are a Jew, because that always came from the fathers, from the ancestors, from the families that you came from. And so those records were destroyed. But I believe when the Lord comes and sets up his nation of Israel on the earth again, those things will be straightened out and there will be Jews again. He says in 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written." By the way, this expression, "the just shall live by faith," can be read three ways. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And the just shall live by faith. And those three things can come into play even under one testing. But if we think about who the just are, if we think of those who are truly alive in Christ, and those who have a solid faith, a mature faith. He says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness," or in lies. It is, you know, if you don't know the truth, don't understand the truth, don't believe the truth, don't have faith in the truth, it's kind of hard to know what is the truth and what isn't. Because what the world offers is not always the same thing that the Lord is offering. And the Lord only deals in truth and love and forgiveness and compassion, where the world has their kind of godlikeness, but it typically is more about people wanting their own way, their own desires, and wanting God to serve them and give them what they want. Verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." I think he's shown it in creation. I think he's shown it by that having that spirit within us, the enlightenment that we have, the understanding that we have, the knowledge that we have of him. And all he's really asking us to do is just give him credit for what he's done. Then going on in 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He's made this so clear that they have no really good excuse for not believing or accepting him or believing what he says about himself or the Lord Jesus Christ. In 21, "Because they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." I've heard it said before, we're either a fool for Christ or we're a fool for ourselves. And the choice is, which would you rather be? Which kind of fool? I think Paul had made up his mind. He'd rather be a fool for Christ. He says, and he changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. It's hard to imagine. He'd want to replace the truth so you could worship a creeping thing. 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up with vile affection, unto vile affection. So what it amounts to is the Lord can run out of patience after a certain amount of time, certain season, and then he could lose his patience and decide that he's just going to turn his back on them. They don't want him. They pretend they don't need him. They don't really want to obey his rules. They want to change the law of nature. And so he goes on to say, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burning or lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat, or if that was the just results of their doing, when they're doing this error, when they're doing this sin, this type of sin, then eventually the Lord says, you know, you want to do something different, try something different than what I've said, and so I'm just going to allow it. It brings about no good. It breaks up the family. 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then finally in 29 it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. You know, when people say that they're happy and they're living this lifestyle, I wonder if that just can't be true because of what the Lord says right here. In 30, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And finally, 32, last verse we'll read, it says, who knowing the judgment of God, if they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do these things, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they're not satisfied just to do these things for themselves, but they try to win over those who are not like-minded and try to have them be changed so that they will practice these things and put these things into view. So that's all I have for tonight. I trust that this has been a friendly reminder from someone who is trying to get to know the Lord, get to know His ways, get to change my behavior so that I can think more like He does and see this life that we have as more from His point of view than rather what the world is presenting. So thanks again for listening. I trust that this will be acceptable and that you will think about it and that you will try to put into practice some of these things that the Lord has put out in His Word. Thank you all. I love you and good night.